Hey everybody, and welcome to the EV Cafe Takeaway, a podcast focused on the zero emission future that we all hope for. And each week I'm joined by one special member of the EV Cafe, and that member today is John JC Curtis. How you doing, JC?
I'm really good, although being described as special isn't a first.
Isn't the first? In what context?
consultant psychiatrist. Move on.
Because we're going to move on because we get to speak with the innovators, pioneers and collaborators of our industry. And today is no exception. Of course, we have the wonderful Michelle Miles from ProHire. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. Not going to lie, there's an element of excitement and nervousness going on right now. So,
be afraid, be very afraid.
It's right there. It's there, I promise you.
Well, Michelle, listen, we are genuinely so excited to have this time with you because, you know, we got to speak at the ITT Hub, didn't we? Had a lovely conversation there, and it kind of whetted our appetite for everything. Think Michelle Miles and ProHire. So tell us a little bit about ProHire and what you do for ProHire, like right at the top.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So ProHire are a fleet management company, and we specialise in anything from 3.5-ton vehicles upwards. Our area of expertise are the things that are slightly different and, you know, a bit more specialist, so not kind of like your standardised type fleets. And the work that I do is I head up the ProGreen division, so anything alternative fuels, so anything that's not petrol, anything that's not diesel. And my job is to help support businesses on that sustainability journey. So help them transition into those alternative fuels, which, as you can imagine, and you guys are living and breathing it all day, every day, is really, really exciting. So in a nutshell, ProHire are about, you know, leading the charge as, you know, the trusted advisors for that sustainable vehicle solution. And ProGreen play a really key part in that.
And Michelle, do you know what? It excites me. We might have to prod John every now and again because we're talking about, you know, vans and trucks. I'm getting him in. He's getting there. But
you know what? It's those people of the world that I love working with, because if you can grab their attention and you can get their interest, you've already won the battle. That's, you know, go for the ones that are the hardest ones to convince and the hardest ones to grab their attention, because once you've got them, the others are plain sailing.
Absolutely.
So how do you do that, Michelle? So you've got a hard-nosed businessman who's saying, right, I've got X number of diesel vans, diesel trucks, and I just don't see the reason to do it right now. Money's tight. I'm really struggling to just keep the business running. And you want me to invest in new technology, which is more expensive, isn't necessarily cheaper to run, hasn't got the load capacity. Tell me, how are you going to convince me?
Well, you're not going to change the world overnight. And if you think you are, then you've already probably hit a bit of a wall. The worst thing you can do is go into a business and tell them what to do. The best thing to do is guide and advise. And we're really, really strong believers in that. If I walked in and said, you must do this, then we're probably straight away, barriers go up and we're out the door before we know it. The idea behind what we do is to share knowledge, share experiences of other businesses, and give them the opportunity to step away and have a think about how that could potentially work for them, rather than trying to force it down their neck. Everybody knows we've got to make change. Everybody is fully aware of that, but having it shoved down their throat is not going to make them change any quicker. Give them the tools to walk away and then analyze and evaluate and have a think about it. Then more often than not, what you'll find is they'll come back and want to have further conversations because you've given them time to digest. You know, very often they don't necessarily know what's possible. So break it down into small parts: infrastructure, technology, training, and then actually give them the chance to see how that could work in their business, rather than trying to push them down a path that they need time to adjust to. Nobody likes change. Change can be difficult. Change can sometimes be expensive. But just give them time to evaluate once they've got the information that they need And very often then they come back to the table and they'll have that conversation. And then you can start working on the small steps, the baby steps, building up to the bigger stuff. But certainly kind of walking in and going, we do this, you must do this, is never going to work. Never going to work at all. So it's about that support.
That has been brilliantly articulated. Can I just say, I'm like, wow. I mean, you know, guide and advise, share experience, analyze. I mean, gosh, this yeah. you can make a little word cloud out of all of that good stuff, because such a powerful articulation of what is really required. And it kind of made me reflect back, because obviously as we get to do these chats, then we have yeah. a look back at your history, and I've seen, you know, you're quite educated in business sciences and other bits and pieces, aren't you? What did you yeah. do that's got you to here to be able to articulate that so well?
Well, I mean, I've been with ProHire now for about 13 years, and I came into the role, and it was, you know, I've had probably three or four roles within the business, from working with customers and supporting them and developing their fleet through to the customer relations side of things. So understanding what the customers need and making sure that, you know, instead of telling them what we can do, understanding what they need and then us finding ways to support that. And then I started to move into the marketing role, and all of these then start to kind of build your knowledge around business, around your customer profiles and what companies out in the UK actually need. And I was very fortunate that I was able to work with the board of directors when it came to developing a solution that was going to look at the future. So that sustainability piece. And that's where the ProGreen kind of came from. But before that, I worked in the car side of things, on the car, working with dealerships on business development.
Proper.
But before that, now I've got his attention.
I'm really sorry, everybody. We're going to bring this chat to an end. I didn't know it. I'm sorry to have foisted that on you, cars. No, sorry, Michelle. So go on, Karen.
That was very, very early days. But I mean, before that, I was at uni, and I studied sports science. So, you know, my plans originally when I left school was I was going to be a teacher, believe it or not. And okay. I wanted to work with the kids on PE side of things and kind of helping make the world a better place from a health perspective. And I went to uni and I studied sports science and very quickly realized that as an active person, I probably wanted to do that more as a hobby than necessarily as a career. So then I moved into, the car world that then brought me to ProHire on the van and the truck side of things. So it's been a very interesting 15 odd years, I would say, but I've learned so much in the time that I came here. I came here and I was cars, didn't know anything about vans, didn't know anything about trucks. And in the last 4 or 5 years, my world has completely changed when we moved down the road of, you know, the sustainability, zero emissions and making change. So yeah, it's been an interesting time.
Now, Michelle, you speak about sustainability. Was that something that you have championed, or has the business championed it and you've absorbed it and it's become part of your world?
I think it's probably been a bit of both, to be honest with you. The business is very forward thinking, and that's the really exciting thing. You know, we've got a board of directors that are in the offices day in, day out. They go to the customer meetings, they go to the supplier meetings. They're very, very hands-on and involved and know what's happening. And they're always looking to see what's going to happen in the coming months and the coming years. And they worked very closely together to make sure that we're kind of ahead of the curve on that. And how can we make sure that we're doing everything possibly that we possibly can for our customers? So, you know, obviously we want to hear what they've got to say, but you know, making sure that we're keeping them ahead of the curve as well in their designated industries. So I say it's probably a bit of both. If you were to tell me 10 years ago that I'd be doing what I was doing, I'm not gonna lie, I probably would have laughed and chuckled an awful lot. But then having said that, now I'm doing it, kind of can't imagine doing anything else. And I can't ever imagine stepping away from this type of role, because I think it's it's so, with the technological changes and people's opinions changing and everything like that, I can't think of anywhere else to be that's more exciting at the moment, to be honest.
It does seem that you have taken to this like a duck to water. I mean, it feels like you were born to do this. It feels so natural. When you took over as head of ProGreen, I've been following Pat and ProHire and for a number of years. Obviously, Pat has always been very, very passionate about, and Pat, massively, for context, everybody, is the CEO of ProHire and you know.
He's like our very own Yoda, is what we refer to him. He is literally our very own Yoda.
A very well-dressed Yoda, I think it's fair to say.
Do you know what? One of the smartest men in the industry.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt. Everybody always comments on the suits and the socks.
Yeah, suits, socks, and it's always three-piece as well, but anyway.
Always three-piece.
Anyway, enough of Pat. You're more important than Pat. But it does, I mean, is that the way you come to work each day? Because it does seem like you're a dog with two tails, you know, just kind of going for it.
I think if I came to work any other way, I wouldn't be able to do my job properly. No 2 days are ever the same. That's the exciting thing about not just our industry, but what we're trying to do from that sustainable point of view. But if I came to work any other way than what I do, I don't think I'd be doing the role justice, and I don't think I'd be able to do my job properly for the customers. And it is, I'm quite a strong, independent person, and I think that's the influences that I've had in my life. And I think if I felt that I wasn't doing the job justice and I wasn't doing what I should be doing, I'd probably have to question whether or not I'm right for the role. But I like to think that each day I come in and ready to face the next challenge. And don't get me wrong, when I'm done for the day, I am done. I am absolutely all, you know, I've given it my all for the day. But yeah, I think if I didn't come in with that attitude, then I think that's very hard for people to make change if they're not feeling that you're ready to kind of be there with them for it.
100%.
Which sounds really cheesy.
No,
but I think
not
it's,
at all.
I think if you don't put 100% into it, then why should the people that you're working with do the same and the customers that you're trying to support?
Completely.
Michelle, you talked about being a strong, independent person, and that's quite interesting. Mm. It speaks to me because the industry is a tough one for anyone. Mm-hmm. Traditionally male-dominated.
Yep.
How have you coped? Because the workplace is transitioning to a far more gender balanced place. Has it been an easy transition for you, or have you kind of had to be that forceful, independent thinking, force of nature, I suppose, that says, no, you'll accept me for who I am, the way I am, and doing my thing. Give me the opportunity to shine.
I think I've been quite fortunate in the fact that, you know, I wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't for the board of directors and our shareholders taking that risk on me. You do feel that sometimes when you walk into a room and there's a certain audience, that you sometimes feel that you probably have to be slightly louder and kind of have a persona of, I'm here, I'm confident, I know my stuff, don't mess with me, I suppose, to a certain extent. But that's kind of me in life anyway. So I can't really help the way that I am. And sometimes it works in my favour, sometimes it works against me at the same time. But I think I'm very fortunate in the fact of I've got people that I work with who 100% support everything that I do, the way that I am, and how I kind of approach things. So I'm very fortunate in that respect. And yes, there are occasions where you maybe have to kind of take a different approach to things. But again, I think everybody has to do that with their audiences. Sometimes it can be slightly, you know, when you walk into a room, no disrespect, walk into a room of
middle-aged bald men. Bald, mostly,
And then you get the ones that kind of sit there and it doesn't happen as much as it used to. I've got to say, it is much, much better than it was but there is always room for improvement, and you'll get somebody who kind of tuts and rolls their eyes and goes, well, what's she going to teach me? And, you know, what's she going to do that's any different to what I'm already doing? So it does exist, but it certainly doesn't exist as much as it used to. But again, I'm very fortunate in the people that I'm surrounded by are very positive and very proactive in making sure that we can make that change. And it isn't just on the sustainability piece, but you're absolutely right. It's the change of perception in the industry of a more diverse people in whatever shape or form that might be. I think we've taken some great strides. I think there's still room for improvement, but then if we were at perfection, then life would be very dull.
Absolutely.
You spoke in that and previously about that strong, independent person that you are, and you also spoke almost like that you owed it to your influencers, the people that have influenced you in your life.
Yeah.
Who has influenced you in your life, and what are those things that have formed Michelle Mars? Yeah. I mean, it could be at school, it could be family, it could be events through your life. Well, what and who has formed Michelle Mars?
I always make reference to this as a female, but I've had very strong family members. So my mom is one of the strongest women I've ever met. And, you know, I'm very fortunate to have a mom like her that has never said, you can't do something. Every time I've gone home and made a mistake on something, don't get me wrong, I've taken the telling off, but, you know, she's always been there to support me. And my nan and my grandma are very, you know, very strong women, very kind of positive, have faced a lot of obstacles in their lives, but overcame them. And to have those kind of female influences very, very close to you, I've been very fortunate. I come from a military background, so I was brought up traveling around up until the age of 16. So I've had that army life of traveling to different parts of the country, traveling to different countries and things like that. So, and having somebody like my dad, you know, he was 34, 35 years in the army. So, you know, there was a lot of changes in our life and a lot of challenges that we had to overcome. And those kind of, you know, family units that kind of help take you through those hard things in life and the exciting things in life, but do it as a unit and do it together. So in my personal life, I'm very fortunate to have parents that have supported me through the mistakes that I've made and the achievements that I've had. But that female influence from the, you know, my mom and my grandparents, again, strong, independent women who kind of show you that don't ever let somebody tell you can't do something, because actually when somebody tells me I can't do something, you know, strong, independent, but also really stubborn, that just makes me more focused to prove people wrong. And you know, from a professional point of view, again, you know, I was very fortunate to be given this opportunity within the business. And, you know, you've mentioned Pat there, you know, the things that I've learned from Pat in the last couple of years, you know, this is not stuff that you can write down. This is living and breathing day-to-day activity, physically doing things and learning from them, rather than having somebody like talking at you, really making you feel like you're a part of something and wanting to share knowledge with you. So Pat's had a massive influence on me, you know, and all the directors giving me that opportunity sort of like 3-4 years ago has certainly changed my career path, but it's changed my life as well. And that just continues, though, you know, that knowledge share isn't just going to be right, I've handed everything over, I've shared everything I know with you. It's then learning together. So, you know, they're big. I'm very fortunate that I've had really positive influences in my life.
Yes, yeah.
It's emotional.
I sensed that as you were talking, actually.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't want to go for the jugular, but it feels that there was the time that you had, you know, moving about might have actually been quite tough, but you guys, I mean, kind of pulled together within that.
Yeah, well, you know, there's, you know, my mom, my dad, me and my brother, family unit. We traveled together. That was always the thing. We went together, and, you know, the family and visiting. And yeah, don't get me wrong, when you move and you have to make, you know, set down sort of like a new, settle down into a new location and make new friends. But again, that's kind of, you know, look at the world that we're in now with the different people that you meet day in, day out.
Yeah.
I actually could say that, you know, sometimes it was hard, but actually sometimes really exciting.
Yeah.
I've lived all over the place. I've met some amazing people. And that was throughout my whole life. That wasn't since I moved into the world of transport. So I think I'm very fortunate. Everybody's got a story to tell. the good and the bad, and it's what you do with it. But I think that my life when I was growing up was a really stable one and a really happy one. And I think I'm actually very lucky to, you know, in whatever shape or form, whether it was the same house in the same town for 20 years of my life or moving every 2-3 years of my life, I think I've been actually very fortunate to have the upbringing that I've had. And I like to think that the positives that sit here now are actually down to, you know, down to the parents, you know, making the best of those situations. So I'm a very fortunate person.
I think you're also a very grateful person, and one, the thankfulness just oozes from you, both for your upbringing and your key personalities within your life, but also for Pat and your current situation. I'm just hearing gratitude, which is, some people mistake gratitude for sort of like a desperation or that kind of thing, but this is, no, I'm embracing the opportunity and I'm thankful for it. And it's a trait I recognize, in the sense that I feel very, very fortunate, and but I'm thankful. I'm grateful for it. And I think it's a helpful kind of character trait to have. Anyway, I almost talked across John then, so I'm going to let John talk.
No, not at all. It's my excitement at picking up on something you said. You said, oh, this is really emotional. And one of those emotions is pride. And you must be hugely proud of having achieved what you have, from your degree right through to your professional career. What's the thing, the single thing that you are most proud of having delivered in your time so far on this earth?
Doesn't have to be a work thing.
I think it's a tough one, because I think very often you don't necessarily realize you were proud. You don't necessarily, when you do something, you don't realize how proud you are at the time until you look back on something and actually have time to kind of look back and appreciate actually the achievements that you made. You know, uni was a tough time in some aspects, because, you know, it's one of these that, you know, if you're going to get to know a person, that, you know, it was only at university that we found out I was dyslexic. And so that was a hard time to transition. But actually looking back, I still managed to get through school with good grades and college with good grades and go on to university before it was even picked up that I had dyslexia. So, you know, you look, but it's, again, at the time you deal with it and you cope with that. But then you're like, actually, do you know what? I'm kind of proud of the fact that I managed to get to that point. Absolutely. Without having to have something identified and everything like that. So there's different parts of different parts of your life. And I'm actually, and this is going to sound really very lame, but I'm also very proud of like the relationships that I've got with people. For me, that's, you know, a big thing, where you can have strong relationships with family, friends, colleagues, customers, suppliers, whoever that might be. And I think for me, that's quite a proud thing. You know, you're not always going to be everybody's cup of tea, but I think I'm proud of the relationships that I've got with people. In whatever aspect of your life.
Because that's the thing I noticed about you. I met you once before, only at the ITT Hub, and very, very briefly. But I instantly warmed to you. You're somebody who, you're almost like a professional friend, in that you meet them and you go, oh, I like you. And that doesn't happen a great deal, but it seems to happen to you a lot. You are well respected in the industry and really well liked.
Well, thank you. I've not heard that before, so I'll take that.
That's a real quality.
I'll take that all day long, as I kind of like fall into like a little hole of embarrassment. But no, I appreciate that. Thank you. It's very kind. I think but again, that comes down to my upbringing. That comes down to the people that you surround yourselves with.
Yeah.
You know, I can't take all the, I can't take everything for that. Well, absolutely not. That's very much my upbringing and the people that are around me.
But there is something, so we have to own the things, we have to own who we are, I think, sometimes. And one of the things, listen, my upbringing had its challenges, and well, life has had its challenges. And what I find is that, you know, one of my strengths is to win other people over. So if people don't like me, and that happens, of course, quite often, but if people, I know. Yeah, bring it on. Keep going. I'm actually just fishing. I just want a compliment. I've heard Michelle get one. I just want one now. No, so on a serious note.
That thing about fishing is that sometimes you throw the worm into the river and you sit there. Uh-oh. All day, it ain't coming, mate.
not a nibble. But we have a natural sort of ability to step in rather than to step back, and there is something within us that doesn't sit at the back of the class and be like the new kid every few years and kind of just, you know, be that person, but you step to the front of the class and go, hey, everybody, I'm Michelle. How is everybody? I'm new, blah, blah, blah. You know, and you know, this is me. And you put yourself out there to be accepted. Now, there's a bravery and a confidence that comes from that, I think. Would you agree?
There is. I think there is. And, you know, I know with the work that you guys do, and whether you're on stage or whether you're on podcasts or you're kind of educating people, there's always got to be an element of confidence. But at the same time, there's an element of doubt. You know, people doubt themselves. People get nervous. But it's how you... I suppose how you channel that. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've got the sweaty palms at the moment, but it's kind of like trying to keep my hands busy that you can't see, and I've got, you know, playing with my pen and everything like that. It's a wave of emotion, lots of different emotions of, you know, excitement about and passion and confidence, but, you know, it's those other emotions that can be maybe a little bit more negative, but it's what you do with those. So that nervousness and how you can control that nervousness and the sort of like any concerns that you've got about doing or saying the wrong thing and everything like that. And it's owning it a little bit, you know, there's nobody else that's going to do it for you. You've got to do it for yourself. And that's kind of, again, through the influences in my life have helped me kind of channel that and grasp hold of it and not be afraid of those negative emotions, but actually do something with them in a positive way, which again, sounds like I've read a book somewhere or something at some point, but it is how I feel. And I suppose I've only probably learned that in the last couple of years. And some might actually say maybe it was a turning point through sort of like when we were in lockdown, is, you know, actually having the time to kind of analyze these type of things and decide how you're going to change the way things are in the future.
I saw that the business had supported you through a leadership management kind of course quite recently. So you had your degree a few years ago, and then this leadership course. I mean, it's great to see the business investing in you. I presume that they supported you through that. That's the way it looked.
No, absolutely. The business have got a very strong focus on obviously us developing as a business, but to do that, you have to make sure that the people within the business go with that journey as well. So there's a very, very strong focus on our training policies and our support for colleagues within the business to make sure that we're always, you know, making full use of the knowledge and experience that people got, the things that they want to learn and develop. You know, I'm probably a prime example of that, to be able to kind of have the opportunity to learn from people day to day, but actually be allowed to step away from the job and be given the opportunity to, you know, step into a classroom and learn from that. But, you know, it's given people the ability to do that in their day-to-day role, but step away. And the business is very, very good at supporting that for everybody across the business, you know, irrelevant. You know, even our directors do various courses. Nobody's kind of above that learning stream.
Good.
You talked about being a pupil there, being a student, learning. But you also spoke about being a teacher and wanting to be a teacher and somebody who instructs. And I wonder if there's something in your work life now where you're able to take that role and educate people, not customers necessarily, but perhaps people you work with. Are you a mentor, that kind of thing for people?
I always feel uncomfortable with the word mentor because that makes it sound like I have all the answers, and I certainly don't have all the answers, but we've got people within the business that have all got their own specialties and are all good at particular things. And it's making sure that you share that knowledge. So as part of the work that we do here internally, yes, you're absolutely right. We will go out and we will help educate businesses. But the key thing is to make sure that we're educating each other internally. So we have internal workshops where, you know, I'll have maybe a dozen, 20 people that I work with in a room, and I will do a talk or a workshop or an open forum to share information, but give people the opportunity to challenge it. Ask questions, or, you know, if there's something that they know a little about, but they want to know more about. And that happens across the business. So not just with the work that I do around the sustainability and driving, you know, the zero emissions, it can be absolutely anything, you know, challenges around funding, around alternative fuels. So we'll have people from the finance team support the sales team. And, you know, it's sharing the information, and that has to happen internally, because it can't be one or two people within the business or three or four people within the business that are doing those roles. Everybody's got something unique that they can share. And that's where it becomes really putting that across the business. So if somebody rang in with a breakdown, that the person who answers the phone, one of our technical controllers, can feel comfortable having those conversations across the board. So yeah, it very much happens internally. I really enjoy that side of the business. I really enjoy that side of the role. And I also really like it when I get to sit at the other side of it and somebody gets to talk to me about something that I can learn from as well. So I don't think anybody can ever be in a position where they can sit there and go, I know everything, because that's just total nonsense. We're going to go with nonsense on that one.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Well done.
You didn't need to, but it's fine.
There was that slight time delay there. But, you know, everybody's got something to share. Everybody's got a piece of knowledge that somebody else can benefit from. And that's the exciting thing about working here, is people get the opportunity to do that.
It strikes me with all of this, right? You are constantly learning, you're constantly giving, and the industry is moving in a particular direction. And I think we've got an element of uncertainty in the marketplace at the moment. There are a number of sort of questions over where we're going. And I think, you know, because I'm like you, passionate about the commercial vehicle sector in particular, and for me the main focus on vans, but, you know, increasingly seeing how trucks are developing at an incredible pace towards this whole thing.
Absolutely.
And it's important that we maintain that, and I'm sort of thinking with that in mind, and with you know, I want to hand you a conditional magic wand. In the sense of, I'd like to see you use it in industry. You could use it on whatever you'd like. But what is it that you think we need as an industry right now in order to be able to move forward positively and in the same way that we have for a little while?
Yeah, I mean, everything you've just said there is right. You know, there are challenges out there. There is something out there for everybody, and I'm kind of quite a strong believer in that. And again, businesses aren't going to change overnight. Fleet profiles aren't going to change overnight, and changing mindsets. But you know what? It's a really tough industry. It's a really tough time for everybody at the moment. And as I don't know if it's our genetics or if it's a British thing or what, but we can be very good at focusing on the negative and looking at ways to not do something.
Yeah.
I'm a strong believer of, don't get me wrong, I don't live in my own little bubble. I'm aware of the challenges, but why can't we just focus on the positives of what actually can be achieved? Don't get me wrong. Everybody knows infrastructure is a challenge around electric trucks, for example.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that you can't have an electric truck on fleet. Those vehicles don't necessarily travel hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles per day. It's about taking the time to kind of look at what can be achieved rather than spending too much time and getting lost down a rabbit hole of what can't be achieved. So I think from an industry point of view, I think we've made some great strides, but I think we need to be more positive about what we can do, and not so tangled up in what needs to maybe change over the next couple of years. Let's focus on the now of what we can do now, and be it, you know, those small steps, looking at your fleet profiles, and if you've got a fleet of trucks, understanding what those trucks are doing, to then take a step back and go, right, okay, so I've got 50 trucks. I can't change all 50 trucks, but I can maybe change one or two. You're on that journey. Gestation periods, when it comes to people transitioning over to an alternative fuel, is maybe in the early stages quite longer than maybe replacing a diesel with a diesel, for example. But at the same time, once they take that step, it's free flow. It is picking up the phone and going, I'll have my next batch of vehicles, please. Or, you know, the confidence is built within the business, so let's look at this piece of technology. Get to that stage of getting over that first hurdle. And I'm not saying it's plain sailing, but it's much more achievable because you've taken that first hard step. So for me, it's very much kind of focus more on the positive rather than the negative. And let's look at what you can do now, and let's make plans for the future, but let's look at the now as well.
Do you know what? I love that, because I think it's that, just that switching of the lens to to a positive view. Now, I saw this. So the British press, right, are not the most positive when it comes to, I mean, we've had a couple of examples. I haven't watched them actually, but the BBC recently and others and the Mail, constantly, it's always from a negative, we want the disaster. But
Yeah, the scaremongering.
Yeah, and there was a conversation that I saw repeated on LinkedIn between a guy called Paddy Common, who's basically the Edmund King of the AA, but in Ireland. And he had a conversation live from a dealership in Ireland with the sort of the Irish reporter. And the Irish reporter was the news anchor, just came across in a very, I'm curious, what's possible, that's interesting kind of way, rather than a, oh, that's stupid. We're not ready for that. We can't do that. There's not enough infrastructure. And they recognised infrastructure, but they also recognised that they've got a lot of other things that bring some balance to that. And I do think it might just be a British mindset that wants the sensational, the drama, the difficulty, which is okay. We get to overcome it. But anyway.
It's one of those, at the end of the day, you know, change is going to happen. We've got no choice in the matter. Legislation changes it, says it, government says it. But we've got to take a moment to think about why those legislations are being set and why those deadlines and timelines are being set. You know, don't get me wrong, and I say this very often, I'm not a tree hugger, but I live in the real world and I see the news of floods. I see the news of fires. These aren't naturally happening. We've caused those natural disasters. So sometimes I think we need a bit of a reality check and go, day-to-day stuff, it's hard. Every business has got their challenges. But look at the bigger picture here, guys. It's not because people want to make money and it's not because they want to have control, most cases. It's very much a case of there is a planet here that is ready to implode if we don't make changes. And I can't change the world on my own overnight. You can't. As a team of people, we can't. But as a collective of people around the world, around the UK, we can all do our part. And if everybody did their part, then we'd probably be in a very different situation to where we are now.
100%.
And I'm going to get off my pedestal now.
Good, because I'm going to bring you back to the real world. You talked about the here and now.
Yeah.
So, it's only the three of us here. Nobody's listening. What's top of your to-do list today for here and now to make change happen?
Right this moment in time?
Yeah, right now.
I'm working on a project with a customer at the moment that when it comes off will be a world first. I'm also working with a customer who's made some very, very big, targets for themselves, which is a 600 vehicle fleet. And we're making massive, massive headways with them. So I've got to jump onto that project just to close off a couple of questions around that. And then I've got some big pieces around some training as well.
Amazing.
Because all of this is well and good, but unless people are educated and trained and understand why they're doing what they're doing, businesses have got their targets, but does everybody within a business understand what those targets are and why they've been set? So when we're doing this training about technological changes and when we're putting fleets on the road, you know, instead of just turning up with a van, an electric van or an electric truck going, congratulations, guys, we'll see you soon, it's spending time with transport teams, the drivers, the workshop, and everybody within the business to understand why you've done that. And you'll get much more of a better buy-in. So a massive piece around what we're doing at the moment and a massive piece of time and effort that I'm putting in at the moment is training and helping businesses train their colleagues to do those changes.
It's exciting. You've got a great day ahead.
That's just today.
Some big stuff.
Oh, and obviously,
people.
Yeah, people, projects, lots of projects. I look directly in front of me and there's a project board and there's a lot of projects going on there in the background. A lot of projects. But to be fair, that's not just me. That's various people within the business, be it assets, sales support, sales, our customer relations team, our operational team. That's not just one person driving a project. That's people within the business having that common goal to drive the projects. It can't be done by one person. Absolutely can't be done by one person.
Thank you so much.
It's I mean, what I love is the gratefulness for the past, the focus on today and the optimism for the future, but also recognizing the effort and the investment that is required today in order to get to said future. I mean, I don't know about you, John, but I've really enjoyed this conversation. Have you?
I have absolutely adored it for two reasons. One is Michelle's just outstanding. And is just makes stuff. No, seriously, you make stuff happen. And often we do podcasts and we talk to people and you think, okay, yeah, sure.
Don't tell them all that. Gosh, we've got...
But there's a something about you that just makes me think, yeah, whatever you put your mind to, you're going to achieve. So that's my big takeaway from this. The other one is a gift from the Lord himself. When Paul said, "Hi, I'm Michelle," because that's getting cut out and we're going to use that on social media forever.
I said that?
Oh, yes. Ooh.
We better get back. We better get that.
He's literally going to go offline and go, play it back.
Where did I say that? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, happy, happy man. I couldn't believe I was taking notes. Right, what time is that? I'm going to edit that out.
Oh, guys, you're a pleasure. You are.
Oh, gosh. Well, listen, Michelle... It genuinely has been a pleasure, and you know, for the time that we've known each other in industry, and I've certainly watched from the early days when you kicked off Pro Green back in, I think it would have been about 2019, something like that. And just watched the videos, the long journeys down to Devon in a Maxus E-Deliver 3.
My days. Yeah, no, that feels like a lifetime ago.
Right, but it's early mornings. But it's that dogged determination, that willingness to train, I think that's so key. And I love what ProHire and yourself are doing with the new brand of Pro Green. You know, I know that you've just recently, in the not too distant past, rebranded. It looks great.
Absolutely.
We're looking really, really strong. And you can see how Pro Green could actually be the Pro Hire of the future, in the sense of almost everything that you do will be alternatively fueled. And we haven't really touched on, so maybe it's another one for another day, but the types of fuels that are alternative, because we hear a lot about HVO, we hear a lot about hydrogen, we hear a lot about CNG and LNG and all of those kinds of things. And I think there's a myriad of things to uncover there, which maybe another day we will do so. But one thing I'm sure of is that you know the answers, and people should check you out and check ProHire out.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I can't take the glory for everything. That is very much, it's got to work. You've got to do these things as a team. No one person can change the planet. But again, as teams, it's amazing what you can achieve when you put a group of people around a table in a room together.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, every team needs a Lewis Hamilton or a Max Verstappen, or depending on what your flavour is. And you're ours for today. We need a female racing driver, right? I can't remember her name.
Google it.
No, there is one. Yeah. What's her name?
So Susie Wolf.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. Toto's wife. Yeah.
Sabine Schmidt.
There you go. Of course. Yeah. Anyway, but listen, let's call it a day, because Michelle Miles, it has been our pleasure, and I think we've summed it up really beautifully. You've really delivered, not only to us here today, but to your customers and to your company, who they should be very proud of you and what you've achieved, and I'm sure they are. I know Pat well enough to know that he's a great fan of yours as well. So
cheese, guys. You're going to get my head through the door at this rate.
But anyway.
No, thank you. I really appreciate you. You know, I've had a good time this morning, so thank you for inviting me. I've really enjoyed it.
It's our pleasure.
Thanks for taking the time, because, you know, the thing that you lack most is time, I guess. So having spent an hour with this, that's really kind.
No,
thank you for
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Have a great day, everybody. And if you want to check back in on the EV Cafe, of course, head over to our website, where all the podcasts will be there. But top of the list in the very near future will be Michelle Miles. So, by the time you're listening to this, you'll have... Anyway. So you'll be listening to... You'll just... Anyway...
What a pro.
Pro green. Moving on. Head over to our websites, LinkedIn with us and ProHire. Check out ProHire Truck TV as well.
Yeah, on YouTube. Absolutely.
Get over there, get some information. And see Pat in his wonderful suit and usually a pair of sunglasses.
All day.
Have a great day, everybody, and thanks for joining the EV Cafe Takeaway.